Troy Hawkins completes the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays can celebrate their first division title in 22 years.
It has been a long time coming, but the boys, they played like champions all season long. They came out today. They made a statement 15-2, and congratulations to the Blue Jays.
It is Sportsfeld story time. We are looking back to the David Price debut, August 3rd, 2015. And we are through the game. Last episode was his incredible 11 strikeout, 3-hit, 1-run start that got the Jays the win. Do you remember, Jake, that win and the game before, the fight game against the Kansas City Royals, were the first two wins in a winning streak? They did not lose again until August 14th. Against the Yankees.
That whole sort of, that run to get them into the playoffs and to win the division, I don't think I will ever experience something like that again. I remember sometime in August, I don't remember which part of August, I went to a game where they, I think they played the Athletics, and they just kicked the shit out of them. And I remember it was when the division was really close. We hadn't overtaken the Yankees yet, but we were getting there. And the Yankees were in Cleveland, I want to say. And by the time we got back to the bar, that game had gone into extra innings. And everyone in the bar was watching the Yankees-Cleveland game. And then Cleveland won, and the bar went crazy. And that was like that moment of like, oh, shit, okay, this is what's happening. That rules.
Jake, your memory never ceases to amaze me. You are talking about Wednesday, August 12th, when the Blue Jays beat Oakland 10-3.
Yep, I sure am.
It was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the 10th game of the winning streak. They go from down half a game to up half a game because the Yankees lose 2-1 to Cleveland.
Yeah, I remember that being like, that was a sort of transitive moment in my mind a little bit of just that, like, oh, this is no longer me thinking like something could happen or something like this is like people are now on board. This is real. This is happening.
It's why you play the game. I mean, to be a part of stuff like this.
In that 11-game win streak, the Blue Jays go from six games back to half a game up, culminating basically in the game you are talking about. Price pitches again. So Price starts against Minnesota, and they win 5-1. He makes his next start against the Yankees that Saturday in New York. The Jays win 6-0. They sweep that series, if you remember that. I remember that so well, them sweeping that series.
I believe that weekend was the weekend of our producer Sean's wedding. And I was in PEI for that weekend. And I remember very clearly the Friday night was the night before the wedding. So we all slammed into a hotel room to watch that Yankees game. I believe Jose hit a home run in the 10th to win that game.
God damn it, Jake. You're thinking of the game before, but yes.
Am I? Yeah, okay.
2-1. They win in 10 on the back of a Jose Bautista home run. Stop it.
And then that Sunday game, I remember we were watching before we got our flight out, and we were in a, it was like the perfect environment for me. I was in a bar, I was drinking a beer, I was eating an entire lobster, and I was watching the Jays beat the Yankees. And it was as close to perfect as I think things get. And that was also the day that I discovered that Chasen Shreve existed, and I didn't think his name was real.
Yes. That series goes 2-1, 6-0, 2-0. The Jays go 10-1. The runs, they go from 3.5 back to 1.5 back. Cecil in the extra inning game, Price with a shutout, Estrada with a shutout. 2015 Marco Estrada, take me back. Price is like, the reason that we love David Price in Toronto the way we do is he was surreal down the stretch. 11 starts, 9 wins, 2.3 ERA. For my money, probably should have won the Cy Young. That's just me.
Wow. Who did win the Cy Young that year?
2015, Cy Young went to Dallas Keuchel.
Aha.
Keuchel went 20-8, had a 2.48. Price went 18-5, had a 2.45.
Price was second.
Price was second. Price had the better ERA plus. He had a better ERA. I believe he had a better, he had a lower whip. I don't think I have his FIP handy, but it was, you know, it's, you take your pick as which one of those guys had a better year. I think David Price did more personally. That's just me. And I'm probably biased, to be 100% honest with you. But he was so money for the Blue Jays. It was ridiculous.
He had 9 more strikeouts and 12 less innings, so.
Right? And he made 1 less start. Boy, oh boy. Just awesome. He finally lost a game to the Yankees August 14th. He went 8 innings, gave up 3 runs. That would be the second worst game of his Blue Jays tenure, giving up 3 runs. Then he got a win against the Angels, a big win against Texas, a loss against Cleveland, and then he finished it off in September with 5 straight wins. Baltimore, New York, Atlanta, New York again, and Tampa Bay. So he comes over at 9-4 and finishes 18-5. He was ridiculous as a Blue Jay. I will say it over and over again. He was so ridiculously good and so much better than everybody else on that 2015 staff. It was ridiculous.
That whole, I know we've talked this before, but I don't know when the last time we did was. But that whole run really makes them not winning the World Series feel even stranger. Like, that run had everything that a championship run has. You know, you have the ringer coming in and dominating. You have the Marco Estrada near perfect game and the Donaldson catch in that game. You have Marcus Stroman returning from injury early on a doubleheader against the Yankees. You have Josh Donaldson winning the MVP. You have Jose Bautista finally making the playoffs. So you have the bat flip. It really felt like it was destined. And then Ryan Goins missed a pop-up.
Crowd is alive and well. Bottom of the seventh inning. 3-0. One pitch and a pop-up. Right side. And it's going to drop as Goins looked like he called for it. Then Bautista stayed away.
Melissa will always point out that Price should have gotten out of that inning anyway.
He should have. As good as he should have. He should have. But he wouldn't have needed to if Goins just catches that fucking ball.
Anyway, just an unbelievable 3 months. And then, of course, free agency becomes the next topic.
Uh-huh.
And I remember we had a standing order that we were going to do a Sportsfeld the day that he signed. And we did, November 30th, 2015. It's our reaction to the David Price Red Sox signing. Here's a little bit of how we felt.
He chose to go to the Red Sox. Fuck him.
I hated.
You have to be like, fuck him.
There are so few baseball players I have hated more in my life than Bronson Arroyo.
For sure.
Just like a nothing pitcher. Yeah. But he pitched for the Red Sox, so fuck him forever.
Like, I feel like it's possible to be like, I wish David Price all the best. He's a really fun, great guy. But also, fuck him.
Here's how we felt. We felt if we love David Price, we want him to do well. But he's a Red Sox now, so fuck him. That was like... Yeah,
that was almost... Exact... That's like word for word what we said.
It was a joy to watch him celebrate winning the AL East. Winning the AL East is among the funnier days of my early relationship because I got so drunk. I got so drunk that night. I made... I believe I called it sangria, but it was just wine mixed with every alcohol we had left and juice.
I remember that was like that was a doubleheader game also, I think, when they clinched because they beat Baltimore, and I was at the Wheat Sheaf with a bunch of people, and it got to the point where like the game that they clinched, they won by like so much, and I remember we were at a bar, so we weren't drinking that much during the game, but after they won, actually began sort of a tradition that I have now, where we're at the Wheat Sheaf, which is at King and Bathurst, so the southern part of Toronto. The game ended. I went up Bathurst with Chris Lund and Jacob Kramer because I was living at Bloor and Bathurst at the time. We stopped at the wine rack at Bloor and Bathurst, asked for champagne. They said, this is a wine rack. We don't sell that. We said, what's the closest thing you have to champagne? So they gave us a bottle of, I guess it was Prosecco. Maybe it was sparkling. I'm not even sure. And it was when Honest Ed still existed. We went into the alleyway of Honest Ed's and just chugged a bottle of sparkling wine to celebrate, which is how that tradition started, which we did again after the Raptors won. But it was that kind of evening for sure. And then identifying with the team the next day as they
were. That was the best.
Extremely hungover as we were also.
Sunglasses, the Sunglasses Blue Jays was so much fun. It was, and I remember because we can't have nice things, there was the backlash. People were mad because they hadn't clinched the American League yet. People
right.
were like, oh, they're, oh man, they're, oh yeah. It's like, fuck off. It's just, seriously. My tweet is, I was so excited about the Jays last night, I got embarrassingly drunk and passed out in my girlfriend's living room at 10 p.m. is exactly how it went. That was the 27th. So they played that night in Tampa Bay. Let's see if I can pull up the Tampa Bay lineup. My favorite. Oh, it would be the next. Remember, we didn't remember if they had clinched or not or something like that. And it was like totally ridiculous because it was the math. It was something like really specific math that had to do
with it. Yeah, that's right.
God, that was fun. That was goddamn hilarious. Right, the difference between clinching a playoff spot and clinching the East. That's what it was.
The East was the champagne in the alleyway night for me. Just for the record.
And so, the lineup they trotted out on the 30th, the day after they clinched the East, was Dalton Pompey leads off, followed by Cliff Pennington in left field, Carrera in right, Colabello DHing, Matt Hagg at first base, Josh Tolley behind the plate, Kawasaki playing third, Darwin Barney at second, and Jonathan Diaz at short. They went zero regulars, top to bottom.
Oh, what a good time. What a good time.
God, I love John Gibbons. Like, only Gibby goes whole hog.
Well, like, why would he play him? Who gives a shit?
Cliff Pennington in left field is... That's chef's kiss right there. When you have, oh, that's so good. Cliff Pennington in left field, who pitched in the playoffs that year.
He did.
You gotta love it. I remember being. I was in. I went to Florida. That's right. At the end of October, because it was my 30th birthday. My mom invited me to Florida. And I went down and the debate to drink beer because David Price was technically not on the Blue Jays anymore was weighed very heavily on my mind. Looking back at this and looking back at our November 30th stance from that year and his time with the Red Sox, he eventually does overcome his playoff jitters and they win a World Series and he's a really big part of it. Where do you land now looking back on David Price and sort of his whole career after this?
I don't know. I'm of two minds, I think. I feel like had he stayed, I wonder how that would have changed opinion on the Mark Shapiro Blue Jays going forward.
No. I mean, I think, you know, if Alex, you know, would have still been here, you know, then it might have, not upsetting, but, you know, that would have been a little bit different.
Because if he stays, who knows what 2016 is like as a season. Who knows if we have David Price the full year also. And I wonder if, you know, because he signed for $300 million in Boston. If he stayed in Toronto, you'd have to imagine the deal would be somewhere in that ballpark.
Totally. And they would have traded him by now, for what it's worth.
For sure. Oh, for sure. As they probably should, to be fair. But if he had signed the $300 million deal in Toronto or $280 million or whatever in Toronto right after Anthopoulos left and Shapiro already came in sort of under the gun, I feel like the whole narrative around Shapiro and all that stuff is very different. And also maybe the Blue Jays win a World Series in 2016 if he stays.
So yeah, maybe.
I really think it changes the trajectory of the next 5 years of this franchise in so many ways that it's hard to fathom how big that one could go either way. Also, it's possible he re-signs for a ton of money and he's not great and the team is still kind of middling in 2016 as they were until the last whatever week of the season. So I think it's a big question. I think I still sort of hold obviously in the last 5 years, my stance on like what players should do for themselves has changed a lot and softened a lot. And like, I know we said this in 2015 as well, when he signed that, like, if someone offers you $300 million, you obviously take it.
That's right.
But there is still, there's still a little bit of fuck 'em in me, I think. Just a little. less than there was.
I softened on this. Yeah. No, I agree.
Less than there was, but there's still a little bit of fuck 'em.
I softened on this when I saw how hard of a time he ended up taking with the whole he's bad in the playoffs thing. Because he was, I mean, with the Jays, the ALDS, he got rocked by Texas in the first game. And then he ended up coming out of the bullpen, famously, later on in that series. He was also not great against Kansas City. His ERA against Texas was 7.2. His ERA against Kansas City was 5.4. And then the next year against Cleveland with Boston, 3 innings, 5 runs, ERA of 13.5. 2018 in the ALDS against the Yankees, he goes 1 2/3 innings. He gives up 3 runs. But he turns it around. 2 good starts against Houston, and then he goes 2-0 in 3 appearances with a sub-2 ERA with the Dodgers to win the World Series. By then, once Boston had already made the World Series, I sort of wanted him to get his moment where he gets to finally have that World Series. I guess just because, like, looking back over this last 4 episodes, how much it meant to us and how big it was that he came here and how good he pitched down the stretch of that regular season to help them clinch that playoff spot, which I think maybe you'll agree with, maybe you won't. With them winning the East meant so much to me, almost as much as them beating Texas. It meant the world to me. So that he had a huge part of that and has revealed himself, by the way, as a really good guy, right?
I believe he was also one of the players on the Red Sox that refused to go to the White House because Trump was in office. I think he was a leader in that as well, which obviously I appreciate.
So I've really, other than 2016, we wanted them to be bad because the Jays were a playoff team. Once it became clear the Jays weren't going to be good, and you can't do anything to stop the Red Sox from being the Red Sox, I wanted good things for David Price, and I still do, and I'm glad he seems like a really good guy. He seems like a
We were big smart proponents dude. Of the Blue Jays trading for him 6 months ago.
That's right. Like, oh my God, that's right.
we were on the trade for David Price again train not that long ago.
Oh my God, that's right. That's right.
If
oh
only.
My God,
what a perfect storybook ending that would be.
Of course, you know the story of how the 2015 season ended. We get the bat flip. We get the Royals series. I think when we do the next one of these, we'll see what they do. Down the line, I think we should do the Royals series because I don't remember it all that well. I remember the Rangers series really well, but the Royals was sort of this like crazy blur for me that was like I already couldn't believe so much of what was happening that the Royals series sort of gets lost as this like completely crazy series of events.
I watched the highlights of the game that they lost to the Royal, game 6, for the first time, I think this year. Because it was just like, I don't want to see that ever again. That one really hurt. That is the most painful sports loss in my life, I think.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's probably up there too. And that's probably why I sort of blocked it out. I remember the Amish guy with the glove.
Yep.
And that's honestly about it. The rest of the series is pretty blocked out for me, which is...
That is a good game to do. Because
sort of funny.
That was a weird-ass game too.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Anyway, that about wraps up Sportsfeld Storytime for this month. It has been a pleasure looking back at the 2015 Blue Jays, as it always is. I love talking about this team and watching their old highlights and remembering the buzz of the dome when it was full and how good the lineup was, and truly, truly appreciating David Price. I think going through that year without an ace and then getting him halfway through, it's different than Doc, right? Because Doc was just always there and he was old reliable. To not have it and really need it and get it meant a ton.
Yeah, there'll never be anything like those 3 months in our sports lives again, ever.
Yes. We hope something comes close. But in the meantime, we thank Alex Anthopoulos for making that trade. And most importantly, we thank you, the Patreon subscribers, for helping us out, for chipping in, for being part of the Discord, and for getting these extra episodes as well as the mailbags. We love our Sportsfeld community. You guys are the best. We will see you next month for a new series of Sportsfeld Storytime.